to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today.
It is my pleasure to sit here. It feels like we're in the same room. I should say that I am Bibi Tinsley, and the beautiful lady staring into my eyes via the camera is Alexandra Medors, extraordinaire. I like to compliment you. It feels right. It feels right. And very briefly, I came into your queendom rather recently, within the last couple of months, because I recognized something. I heard a call. I still am trying to understand it. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to find out what you know. Maybe let's go back to, how did you recognize that it was time and appropriate and needed to be done to start Galactic Connection?
Well, that started back in 2011. I was up in bed reading, and I think I was journaling. And I was, of course, researching a lot of interviews. I've always been a diehard researcher on the internet. And I heard this voice. And, you know, it was very powerful. It was almost as if he was standing in the room. And I heard this very masculine voice say, you need to get going on your mission now. And I remember looking, you know, like, did I hear that? And then they said, yes, we're talking to you. And then I heard, you know, telepathically, you know, we need to have you get started on the website. And I'm like, what are you, crazy? You know, I can't build a website. What are you, crazy?
Anyway, and then they that was their key statement. I'll never forget it. They said, obviously, your definition of urgency is different than ours.
That's funny. That's very funny.
So they kicked me in the, you know what? Now, that was still November of 2011, and I was still resisting because I knew on a higher level what the indication was in building a website of this magnitude. And what was coming with it. And mainly that was having to step a little bit higher in my profile, you know, and be out on the internet, which, I mean, I don't know very many people that really enjoy doing that because we all immediately think of all the spears being thrown at us, you know, by those that don't get us or don't understand us or are quick to judge us. So a couple months went by, and then February 10th, 2012, I just got pushed. I mean, I literally think I just got my butt kicked on the interplane. And I just started, and it was almost as if I couldn't get enough of it. I worked 60 days literally around the clock. I didn't even hardly sleep. And I was told that it needed to be done by April 1st.
Okay, so when these voices that you heard telepathically were communicating to you, did you know what the intention was? Did you know that it was to bring to gather people, or did that reveal itself as you move further into it?
That's a good question. It actually revealed itself and came through me as I was writing.
Wow.
And journaling the pages. I've always been very interested in writing. I've been complimented for my writing skills, and so I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I had no idea what I was taking on. I didn't know it was going to end up being a literal library of Alexandria, so to speak, for online articles, and it started manifesting in such a way. And I remember there was literally a half moon of ascended masters behind me. And there would be moments where I would get so stuck because I'm not a techie, and I would say, I can't fix this. I can't get this to work. I know you want this done. I only have so many days to get this done. And it would, like, before my eyes, just fix itself. You know, just.
So was this new for you to call upon the masters and have things just feel supported like that?
To feel supported like that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And to have it so magically fall into place. You know, there was very little resistance. Whatever I was funneling through onto the keyboard, it was like a flood of support and love. Just, you know, I was high. I was like high writing up this website, and it was such an undertaking. People say, God, that must have taken you a year to create that thing. You know,
did they inform you at the get-go what your role in all of this is?
No.
How did that come about?
That was really over a period of time, and I would get very frustrated because I would see other players on the internet just, you know, sharing their exaltations of all these messages that they were receiving from above and so on and so forth. And I kept thinking to myself, well, why don't I have those skills? I remember when I was a child and I had situations like that occur to me, and I had beings coming in and out of my room. So I knew I had the capacity to do it. And I also had a few things throughout my life that have occurred, but I couldn't understand. There was this constant block. And there was one night when Saint Germain came forth and really clarified for me not to push the river, so to speak, is what he was saying. To just go with it, because it was all going to unfold exactly how I designed it. He kept saying, you design this. You plan this whole strategy. We are merely reminding you. And in fact, I worked very heavily with a very dear being to me. His name is Jonathan, and he's a huge lion being, absolutely gorgeous lion being. And he would come to me all the time and say, listen, you know, I've come here from the future. I made an agreement with you to remind you not to get so impatient, or, you know, don't try to second guess yourself, or don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, as far as your abilities, because they will come at a particular time. And I kept saying, why? I don't understand. Why can't I have it all now? You know, I mean, if I want something and it's divinely guided, why can't I have it all now? And he just kept reminding me, because of the position that you are in, this is what's best for you. And you know this from prior missions. And this is what he kept saying over and over and over again. He kept reminding me, you've done this many times before. So just trust in what oath you've made with me today. I'm like, okay. So
that's amazing information that was coming in. Did you have experience with beings talking to you, or did it all come fast and furiously at that time?
No, it started really heavily once I had the really bad car accident in 2001.
That makes sense. Okay.
And amazingly enough, I didn't even realize it until later that the day I started creating the website was the anniversary date of when I had the car accident.
Seriously?
No. It was very strange. Yeah. And when I tapped in on that, they basically said, yeah, this is a cycle and you are now beginning a whole new part of your life. And we want you to move away from that, all the pain and struggle and strife that you went through. That was, you know, that was a tough, tough, tough road. 2001 to 2012.
I mean, I don't know how much you want to share, but you were saying the other day, well, that was, I don't know if I was in the wheelchair or not, and I just went, boy, yo, 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 oh my gosh. I mean, you know.
I was only in a wheelchair for about 6 months.
Oh, only 6 months. Well, yeah. In the scheme of things, you know, both of us are very fortunate. I didn't have a car accident like you did, but these things are kind of initiatory, as you
very
know.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I keep coming back to me. I want to know, from your perspective, I still am very much in wonderment about how it was like horns blowing like bugles, but really deep horns that I felt in my bones. And it was related to the fact that I had to get in touch with you. And writing letters to people who had blogs and websites is not something that I have really ever done. You know, I surprised myself. But what is that?
That was me. And I went to a very specific location. I called forth all the beings of light, all the ships that I work with, all the council members that I work with, all of the different realms of support that I work with, Mother Earth, Father God, and I just put it out there. And I commanded, because of the fact that I'm doing work for this planet and its people and its beloved human race, I commanded with all of my heart that the perfect individual would come forth, and that I had no more time for initiations or anything like that. I had to finally have someone who was the perfect fit. And you came forth.
You know, that makes so much sense to me, because there was a real power in the sensing that I had, and I've seen you when you are invoking the celestials and the masters and the really, really high ETs, and you have, Alexandra, this power. It's really extraordinary. I love to watch. So that makes sense. That's what I was feeling, backed up by my own association and my own experiences and, you know, what apparently is going on when I sleep at night.
for all of us out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing that just is really astounding and mind-blowing to me is the amount of, you know, the languaging doesn't do it justice. You have health and well-being modalities. You have metaphysical knowledge that is, I mean, vast. You've got the Library of Alexandria. You've got your interview show. You have so many people from around the world who really look to you for their, almost as if they want to see which way their own wind is blowing by looking to you. And to me, that is how I recognize a leader. Someone that many, many people look to for direction, not necessarily the answer, and not thinking for themselves, but they look to you for direction. I've been in Galactic Connection helping you out with the admin now for 2 months. That's been quite a story too. I mean, my own fast track learning about interference. Look what you, I mean, and you know, this was, I've had my own share of interference. Nothing like this before. You have been holding this up for years. How does one do that from your perspective? How have you come to this point? Have you thought about that?
I have. I see myself as a, and this is probably going to sound really weird, but I see myself as a container as well as a conduit, and a container of a very large group of highly tuned and dimensional forces. I'm not even going to say even just beings. I feel that I have been divinely sent here. And I've been around on planet Earth for probably a good 500,000 years. And I've been doing this for a long time, getting ready for this moment. But I do feel that I'm representing such a magnitude of other races and beings of other dimensions because of my skill set in the galactic world, which is mediation, ambassadorial relations, and the incredible desire that we just get the fact that there's all different walks of people, beings, and all different cultures, but different does not mean the stance of critiquing. Difference does not mean the bizarre or weird or you know, or a platform in which to say, ooh, I don't like that. Different is going to become a very common situation for us in the near future. And as a race, as a human race, we need to come to terms with being different from everyone else is magnificent and beautiful.
So. Yes, that's so wanted here. And I'm just grokking this on the level of my own frame of reference coming in. And it's like, I just so appreciate your recognition. And I have my own answers, but, you know, I know that I report to you here now, and I don't recall anything feeling in this life ever so satisfying as knowing where I am and that I am in the right place. And my sense is there are more and more people are discovering these things about themselves.
Yes. And also, Bibi, first of all, you're feeling that sense of satisfaction because you finally stepped fully into your mission. That's the first thing.
That's great. Yeah.
And secondly, what I want to clarify to people is when they hear you say reporting to me, you know, because of the position that I hold, I don't take that lightly, number one. And number two, if you have any knee-jerk reaction to the word leader, to the word reporting to the word commander, then you really need to step back and go within and find out why. because on the other realms of existence, there is not this preconception of meanings of defining words. When you say that someone is a lord, for example, in a particular dimensional level, that is inherent of meaning commander.
Mm-hmm.
But in this reality, we have all kinds of programs and thought forms that have been unfortunately created for us, oppressed upon us. And we have just been, you know, kind of like see yourself in quicksand. We are literally in quicksand with all these thought forms flying around in the mass consciousness within this planet. So it's one of those things where many of you out there are going to start feeling urges to report to someone. It could be me, it could be someone else. You're going to start noticing that there are key individuals on the planet who have been divinely graced with the gift to be able to oversee very magnanimous missions here. I happen to be one of them, and I don't take that lightly, but at the same time, that just doesn't happen unless you've really kind of earned your stripes, so to speak. And it's not so much about better than someone else or anything like that. It's just experience. And I, you know, my friend Simon Parks has said, it's because we are uncorruptible.
I see. Can you define for us what that means, really?
That's a good question. In order for one to be a master, one must face every challenging situation and have the capacity to bring it back to a state of balance. If they're facing adversity, they must always move within their self-awareness and their universal truth. And that takes precedence above all else. For example, if something really terrible happens within your life, there is a consideration of what would the higher planes of existence do versus what your instinctual physical self would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I think all the time. So if, for example, if someone attacks me or hurts me in some way, it is very important that you not be pulled into a place where you deny that which creates you into an individual, authoritative master. And if you get pulled into, I see this a lot out there on the stage, if you get pulled into a lot with your ego, if you get caught up in, you know, lots of people wanting to talk to you, or, you know, you start forgetting that one of the main reasons that you're even in that position to begin with is through grace, through trust, through experience, through the faith of a consolidation of beings. If you ignore that or take that lightly, it will be eventually pulled away from you.
Yes, what you just said is reminding me that my sense is that we are at a really, really delicate, pivotal, it could be dramatic, and we could get lost in the drama. And, I mean, you know, witness all of these amazing things happening. And that brings me to a burning question that I have. I can't get enough of finding out more about the Guardians. Can you tell us what you know about the Guardians?
Yes, and I think I'm going to start from the very beginning. Back in 2004, I was really struggling with pain, physical pain, and a lot of injuries within my body. And I was really being hounded by a friend to go visit a hermetic teacher who she claimed had just magical healing abilities. For whatever reason, I kept hesitating to go. And I was like, I was just constantly seeking out healing modalities, therapies, ways in which I could release all of this stuff that I was holding on to. And so finally, my husband got sick. He got so sick, he didn't eat for 4 days.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And it was over New Year's Eve. I'll never forget it. And I knew that was really serious because my husband loves to eat. And there's many of you out there that know him, and you're probably getting a chuckle on that one. Anyway, so I finally made the phone call for him, not for me. And as I was on the phone talking to this guy, he said, "Oh my God," he said, "the pain from your middle back down is," he says, "I hope you're coming with him." I said, "Well, yeah, I'm driving him." So we made an appointment. I think it was New Year's Day or the day after New Year's, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And we walked in the room, and it was a very small, very dark room. And we walked into the room, and he literally went like this, and his eyes just went boing, boing, you know. And I looked behind me. I was like, well, he can't be looking at me, right? So I sat Steve down and I said, "What are you looking at? You look like you think we've got 17 horns on our head." And he says, "I've just never seen two together." And I said, "Two what? You talking about?" "Oh." And he says, "I've never seen two guardians together." I said, "Wow." I said, "What's a guardian?" He says, "Well, that will take time." And I trained with him for a couple of years and learned a great deal. And over that course of time, I can say that, first of all, a guardian is going to know, they are going to know in their gut that they are one. That's one thing. Secondly, the guardians have a very special role here, especially with this mission at hand. And we have very special bodies as far as the amount of Hellion light that we can, channel through our bodies. And because of this, we are great anchors and great grid builders. And so we do a lot of grid work, a lot of repair work. The other thing is we're catalysts. And most of us, we grow up our whole lives wondering what's wrong with me, because we tend to walk into a room and nobody likes us, or we piss people off, or they break down and cry and tell us their whole story. Or you'll hear your whole life, "I don't trust anybody like I trust you." And they'll tell you their entire saga that they've never told even their own wife or children or best friend. And this is inherent of a guardian because it is what makes us us. We're very, very enlightened souls. However, we're now at this time, there's many different levels of us because many of us have not known that we were a guardian. This is deliberate. Why is this deliberate? Because we go into very, very challenging and difficult missions. We take on childhoods, marital situations, health, chronic illnesses that most people would die instantaneously. We just seem to manage to skate right through them. We have an inner strength about us, even if we are irritated or enraged or whatever. There's a strength about us and a knowingness that we carry because of what we're here to do. I am convinced that without the guardians, and there aren't like a slew of them across the planet, it is very important that they be online, receiving help, being empowered and reminded of who they are. They also carry magnificent gifts with them. But what I find, and trust us, we've been doing thousands and thousands and many, many, many guardians because I am here to gather the guardians. Many of them have been chewed up, spit up. I mean, they've been really, really messed up. There's so many that are awakening right now. They've come from very difficult homes, highly abused circumstances, and they're just looking for home. They typically have always been alone or tend to be loners. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not outgoing and gregarious or what have you, but they are very alone in their thoughts with themselves, and they have a difficult time finding others that really get them, that really understand them, and that appreciate them. So they tend to, as I was told, they tend to walk around with a insecurity complex. And this is not the truth. It's actually an illusion as to who they really are. So we are very motivated to assist them because they're a very important piece of this whole transition that we're going through. Can't hear you, Bibi.
That's because this last time I muted myself and I forgot. We have helicopters flying over here, so I didn't. Do you know more about the whole structure of the mechanics of the groupings of the beings of which the guardians are a part of?
Actually, when the guardians were sent in, they were sent in basically deliberately not to know one another. And this is because they carry a very large magnetic field. They hold a very large space. And even though they might consider themselves to be messed up, highly abused, very much in grief or what have you, just their mere presence catalyzes the planet. It catalyzes groups of people around them. It causes people they're almost forced to look at themselves in a way they didn't really want to do before. And the guardians don't really understand this. So they end up walking around with like a complex because they're just being who they are. They don't really get what, you know, no one told them who they are. And they're walking around going, God, what did I do? I just stood here. I can definitely relate to that because of my own past and my childhood, where there were many times I'd walk into a room when I was a little girl, and everybody would be laughing and giggling, and I was like, wow, I want to go laugh and giggle. And I'd walk in the room, and it would just get completely silent.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, what? You know, I didn't even know these people. That's the thing. That's when you really begin to realize there's something energetic going on with us.
I'm just feeling people really resonating and recognizing many things as they're listening to you describe these characteristics. My question is about the history and the placement in timeline and how that works out. Now, you said that you've been on this planet at least 500,000 years. Now, was that originally as a guardian? Did you get caught here? What information do you have about your own journey?
It's interesting you asked me that because I was just talking with guidance the other night about this very question. Apparently, I just came here and I knew the consequences. Once I got here, I have a love affair, so to speak, with Mother Earth.
Yeah.
I have a very close relationship with her, and every one of my lifetimes, I've had something to do with her, the goddess energy, the planet Earth energy. Alchemy has pretty much been a part of my life in all of my lifetimes on planet Earth. And so I think that I just knew. And I knew, and I have a knowingness even now that I knew who I was, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And just, you know, it's kind of like you take a big deep breath and you jump down the hole kind of thing. And you know that you may not be coming back for a long time. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to that, but that's pretty much what I feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard many, many different perspectives as to why we are still at this game. Many say, you know, we've done this. I know personally I have been at this particular segue where we're about to move into another age. I've done this at least five times before. I have been told that humanity either wasn't ready or they ignored the opportunity because they didn't want it. They would rather have remained in the drama and the polarity consciousness kind of thing.
Well, so many questions come to mind when you say that, but okay, let me just go there, because that speaks to how humanity has been compromised and really distorted, and basic gifts and brilliances have been just stripped. It's so unfair. That's where I get going, is the sense of injustice. And it's a delicate balance, you know, not to want to go to war about it.
I would like to comment on that, not to interrupt you, but it's really important for people to understand. The Guardians here are the boots on the ground for the Guardian Alliance, which is made up of, I mean, literally billions, if not trillions, of beings around multiple galaxies and multiple planetary systems, etc. This is something that's needed. Why? Because, you know, what are we all about here? We're not about completely annihilating darkness. Okay, we're not removing darkness. What we're doing is we're trying to bring the balance back. It was literally to the point where it was probably, what, 98% darkness and a couple of percentage points, you know, on a relative scale here. I'm not talking regarding each of us individually, but it has been completely ridiculous.
That's shocking, that statistic. It really is.
And you know, I'm just throwing that out there, but I mean, the bottom line is it's gotten so bad that this, apparently, from what I've been told, this is very common, believe it or not. There are some very newbie kind of star systems that they get started and they move up through their evolutionary scale, and either intruder forces get access to them, or they make some stupid decisions where they get involved with maybe higher beings that have chosen to provide them technology that's way beyond their capacity and capability to control, maneuver, use with responsibility. We're definitely that type of race here. And these intruder races, they tend to prey on younger star systems and younger planets. And so this is kind of like, if you looked at it, you know, as many of you know, I look at it very much where whatever's going on within your body is a direct photograph and a direct reflection of what's going on in the planet. You know, if you take a grain of sand, it's going to have just as much activity within it, within its own sphere and its own universe. You know, as they take the telescope and they go down further and further and further, and they see into the smaller and smaller molecules, what we're realizing is size makes no difference. You and I are essentially like a walking planet, okay? So this is really not abnormal when you're talking free will, okay, which is part, supposedly, of the universal laws. Now, the Guardian Alliance was actually put together, and anybody who reads up on the Guardian Alliance, you know, I knew the moment that the information came to me, it blew my mind, and I'll tell you about that in a minute because it's funny. But the Guardian Alliance is primarily, they've been orchestrated and organized for one major core reason, and that is to literally, truly rescue these younger embryonic civilizations that have gotten caught in being intruded upon. And I use the word survival very carefully because it's not about them doing it for us. They're just here to provide us tools and support to get through this very difficult process, because there's going to be a big leap, and that's not easy for an embryonic civilization. But the second most important thing is they are here to share the teachings, very ancient teachings, and to educate. And that, and what I mean by that is re-educate, because even you and I and every enlightened soul that's watching this interview, as enlightened as we are, I say this all the time, I can't wait to see what I'm really going to learn. Okay, because so much of what we think we know is going to probably fall apart tomorrow. So, getting back to the guardians, one of the other things that happened to me was, I think right around the time I had the car accident, which was in 2001, in the year 2000, right around that time, very bizarre thing happened to me. I was living, believe it or not, on a spiritualist camp that had been created in the late 1800s. And we fell into this place, and that's another story, but basically we were there for about 10 months, and through that period of time we're just sitting out in this big grassy area, which was a portal. Okay, we're just sitting there and we're enjoying the sunny day, and this guy just he's like walking towards us with a mission. I'd never seen him in my life. I mean, he was just like, and he shows up and he's carrying this like manuscript, and he gives it to us and he goes, "I'm supposed to give this to you."
Wow.
And we're like, okay. And he says, "Don't tell anybody I gave it to you." He says, "But I was told I had to get this to you now." And I look down, Steve and I are looking at it so we can ask him questions. We looked up, he was like walking away. Well, we found out later, this was so I'm not sure what year Anna Hayes put out her first book, that one first book, but there's another one right around 2000 or something. I just can't remember the dates, but it was interesting because it was a original first copy.
Wow.
Published or something like
that. Do you have the copy?
We can't find it.
Oh.
We can't find it, which is very interesting.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, that's what got us started, because, once you get into the Voyager series, the Voyagers 1 and 2, in my opinion, it changed my life forever. There was just really no way of looking back. And it goes into the whole entire intruder forces, how many galactic wars we've been in, how much work has been done, and how many major beings have been attempting to assist planet Earth in getting free. Okay, because we do need help. And as they say, we have to do the job. But up to this point, we've needed some assistance to get out of this. Once you're a fly and you've been wrapped in a cocoon in a spider's web, you got to have some external force to help you loosen up that cocoon.
Yeah.
Basically where we're at.
Perfectly, beautifully put. So this brings me to, and people, you may not follow my train of thought, but just ask Alexandra. It's a little odd. What is the relationship? How are the non-physical world and the physical world married? Is it all about frequency and dimension?
I'm going to answer that in my world. In my world, especially when I'm doing my alchemy, there are filaments, and they are frequentially, they're designed and they're formed according to their frequential space. And in my opinion, this is where I get stuck, is there really another dimension? you know, I don't think that there's like a line that says, oh, you know, you can't come in here because this is the fourth dimension. And you're it really doesn't work that way. We're actually breaking through dimensional levels right now, all of us that are attempting to enlighten ourselves. And we're already stepping into higher frequential waves of existence. And that's really more of how I see us kind of interrelating with Mother Earth, Father Sky, that kind of thing. The other thing I would also say is most people out there would agree we've already been in the higher dimensional realms, and we came here to do a mission, and therefore it is part of our life to kind of come and go into the different dimensional levels, as they call it. So, you know, if we're here to help the masses, guess what? You're not going to be cruising up to the ninth dimensional frequential level of space. You can't hang out up there all the time if you're going to try to help the folks in this reality. So, but again, it's very individualistic, in my opinion. I think we're all kind of cruising around in our own spheres of light.
I love that you just said that. I think, yes, yeah.
We kind of all float around, and then when we really find someone that we click with, that's when we start creating amazing sacred geometrical shapes. The guardians will definitely be doing this more and more and more as they start coming together and gathering together. You know, we will create phenomenal, kind of like cymatics. People are familiar with that. You know, if you play music and you have sand on a drum, the sand will create a beautiful sacred geometrical shape. Well, we're no different. Again, you know, you look at a grain of sand and you look at us, how are we really different if you break it down energetically?
Fascinating and wonderful answer. And again, this mind is like going all around and looking at what you just laid out there, and it's very fractal, and we could go anywhere right now. We could board down, you know? I mean, the possibilities are absolutely...
I'm going to take my sweater off.
Yeah. Do you want to take a little break? Are you okay?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
Good.
I was just freezing when I got into my office this morning.
No, she's all warmed up. That's great.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm learning from you, my dear. You know, I watch you, and it's very inspiring because of your strength. Now, I have strength too, but you have the ability to work in this world of physicality. And to take, like in your alchemy, you're bridging the world in your creation and your manifestation. And I don't think I could, I mean, I have my own gifts again, and anybody listening, we all have our unique gifts, but I just have to say, I think this is part of what I recognized in you when I was looking at you in those videos at first. There's this like kind of a Irish-Canadian farm girl, you know, and then there's this queenly quality. There's just a power. So that's also what I started to recognize once I started to think about it. And the whole concept of choosing to come here on a mission. I don't think any of us were sent here against our will. This is something we absolutely chose to do.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So, and we also knew, and we know every time we do this, correct me if I'm wrong, that we kind of put a bag over our head every time we incarnate.
Yeah, because if we didn't, actually, I've talked to them in great length about that.
Tell us more.
My higher self and guidance. Well, I mean, the main upshot of the whole thing is when I get frustrated, they remind me that each of us we will make an agreement. We will make an oath or a decision as to how much our psychic gifts will come back. And yes, there are all kinds of electronics going on that are blocking that. There's all kinds of electronic grid stuff affecting that. GMOs, fluoride in the water. I mean, there's all kinds of, there's like an all out and out attack on our bodies to keep us, when they say dumbed down, it's not necessarily just intellectually. They're really trying to keep us dumbed down because we're all antennas. Okay, so but we do come here, apparently, we choose how much we can clairvoyantly receive and what our role is going to be with that. But we also know that if we come in with that gift, there's a price to pay. And if you talk to people that, like, look at Blavatsky, you know, any of those guys back then, I mean, they paid really high prices. Edgar Cayce, as much as he was renowned now, I mean, during the time when they were cruising around and they had these phenomenal gifts, they really had some very challenging life experiences. So a lot of us are like, you know what? That's a distraction. I just got to stay on my path, get a little bit of information. And of course, the other thing I hear all the time is they make an agreement with us to protect us. So we need to remember that. There is such a loving, divine force that truly adores us and wants us to succeed in this mission, because we ultimately, our higher selves, want to succeed. And therefore, there's that alignment again, that all chemical marital alignment with Source. Because if we succeed and we reach our destiny, this is another piece of the puzzle in Source that literally sends a wave of peace and a wave of completion across all the galaxies.
How beautiful. That is just exquisite. Yes, it makes sense. And so I really am curious about guardians and implants. Now, I know that what you and Jerry are doing is part of the mission.
Definitely.
Can you talk more about that and what you've discovered, the role of your role in it, the role of the implants in keeping the guardians down? Just shed a little light on that part of the world for us.
Sure. Well, the whole implant removal thing, it came to me, kind of knocked me upside the head. I was at that time interviewing Cobra, and Cobra was one of the first people to really heavily discuss the implants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had interviewed him and asked him a great deal of questions about it. I have found out since then that that was my clarion call. that was my, okay, it's coming kind of thing. But then, you know, you're not really realizing that sometimes. And then Reverend Pam Lachey, who was working with me at the time, she ended up calling me and flipping out. You know, we were on the phone and we were crying together, just searching, you know, just really sharing some heartfelt feelings about the pain on the planet and the pain in our lives with the people that we know. And then this magical, I should say, ceremony came through the phone between the two of us. Mm. Now, it's interesting. Somebody had contacted me before that and they had said, "Hey, Alexander, I just want to let you know, the decision's down to between you and somebody else." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, apparently, you know, you're both vying for some specific position and you're both named Alexandra."
Oh.
And I just ignored him because it didn't feel right. I thought, you know what, that's just, I'm not really vibrating with that. And then this happened. So I went to work and it was a full house. I knew it was a big deal, as did Pam. And our job was to really go to the very ancient seeds of the implants themselves. There are people that remove implants, but they don't do what we do, and that's okay. You know, I'm a really big proponent to support all the healers out there that are doing their work in integrity and honesty and good intention. For us, we have a very specific role to play. We have been sent here literally to support the enlightened ones. We aren't necessarily here for the masses, okay? And our job has been to remain impeccable in our work and support those that are now going to end up. It's kind of like Jesus showing you how to fish, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're doing that with a lot of healers and energy workers. And, you know, when I say healers and energy workers, that can be anybody from somebody who gives you a reading to a crystal healer or to whatever, you know. But that was our job. And I took it very seriously. I saw the seriousness in it because we're literally being prepared. We are so close to being prepared to be walking out onto a world platform where we're going to be deluged. And I mean deluged. With requests for help. And we need to be at a place where our closets are cleaned out. I know I carry a very specific set of codes that the healer community possibly needs. And as does Jerry, as did Pam. And you know, we all carry codes. We all carry codes for very specific things. This just happens to be one of the keys that I carry. The alchemy is a very important component of that. It's an extremely important component. In fact, so much so that when this whole process was created, and I mean, I had like the Ascended Masters just, you know, going through the whole process with me. I mean, you could clearly see this was so divinely planned out. It took me a long time to create the formulas, and they're very, very powerful. And it was a very complicated cycle. It's something that I had not ever done before in this lifetime. Mm. I just heard him say in this lifetime. but you know, it's something that, has been so fulfilling because I know that no matter how much work you've had done, no matter what road you're on, no matter where you are in your enlightened path, I know that I've provided a piece, of kind of like providing you safe passage, you know, to your next destination, so to speak.
I think there are many, 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 many of us who are very grateful to you and Jerry for stepping up like this. And that brings to mind the nature of what you guys have been encountering since you've been doing this. Now, have you seen a shift in the types of interference energies, shall we say?
I have lately. I would say since I started this in 2012, I have had nothing but interference. I mean, it's just been nonstop. People, if they go back to my early days of interviewing Cobra, you know, it was a constant problem to get my interviews up there, let alone that they, I mean, I can remember times where I would go through the whole entire interview and it never recorded, even though it was showing on my screen.
Oh,
it was recording.
How frustrating. Oh, you know, my God.
This stuff that it's very apparent that somebody else has access to that electronic device or software because it's just not normal in the 3D reality. But 2015 was a tough year. As everybody knows, they took down our site and they took down just about every application that our site was affiliated with. And since that time, you know, the messages that have been coming in is I kind of took the bullet for the team, so to speak, electronically. We've been working with very large, what we would refer to down here as IT engineering teams, to be able to create better frequential electronic platforms in which we can operate within that are not constantly being manipulated and intruded upon. We're doing really well.
I'm sitting in a state of wonderment, which is something that I am experiencing often since I've come on board with you. It's really very marvelous. When you were talking, I looked back and I realized, and it had not occurred to me, that the site went down exactly 1 week after I started with Galactic Connection, and 7 days. And it was, for me, I was just, it was a real wake-up call. It was so apparent to me, not only what you have been through, Alexandra, which is, oh my God, I still can't wrap my head around that, but that this is very, very, very real. As
right.
If I needed proof, which I didn't, but I did.
That's the thing.
I'm sorry, I was talking. I didn't hear you.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry, but people talk about interference all the time. They hear about it a lot amongst people that are interviewing other people, but this was like nothing I've ever seen in my lifetime. It was incredible. It wasn't just within my computer or within the server. It wasn't just within software programs like Skype, Facebook, Twitter. It wasn't just within that. It was literally an absolute, highly targeted and planned out strategy where literally a group of people were sent in to my life to try to railroad me. And these sorts of things happen to targeted individuals, but when you are in the midst of it and you, every turn you make, you're realizing, wow, I seriously have no control over these electronics. I can see that another agency is monitoring, controlling even my keyboard. How about like BB was blogging, and I mean, literally she would see her keyboard, some force would just take over her keyboard. I mean, just really weird stuff. So, when you're, I had one individual that I interviewed and they said, Alexandra, I just want to commend you because you just really need to understand that when you're this messed with all the time, you're doing something right. And now I'm just ready to not have that resistance.
I don't blame you, but it is quite, if one can take it as a high compliment and know that you are doing something right. If it matters that much to other forces, then to me, I take it as a high compliment. That's how I experienced it. But I wouldn't have been ready even a year ago. So it's been a tremendous learning experience on a practical level for me. It's one thing to study metaphysics and to practice meditation. It's another thing to put your actual feet inside boots, put those boots on the ground, and to start walking and talking with others who are doing it. It's real. It's happening. It's here. And you are commander to me.
Yeah, thank you. Well, and you're a commander too. So, the other thing that was an initiation, and I do want to remind people that you really truly don't know your stuff. You've heard that movie called The Right Stuff, right? Yeah. You don't know your stuff until you're under attack or you're under the veil of tremendous adversity. And it's at that point that the spirit and the soul's character really shines. And believe it or not, we know this. We use this to fine-tune ourselves, to knock ourselves back onto our path if we've kind of gotten off the path. Maybe perhaps we started dating someone who's going down a different path. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad person, but they've really pulled you off track of what you ultimately came here to do. The same goes with these sorts of situations. The key here is, how are we seeing it? How are we processing it? How are we sharing it with other people? How are we turning lemons into lemonade? What are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do with all of... Look at what we have to face here, folks. We think we've gotten through the most difficult part, and in many ways we have, but we've got a whole nother phase that we're about to step into. The next phase that we're about to step into is cleaning it all up, rearranging, readdressing, reviewing, replanning, redirecting. We're not necessarily going to throw everything out. We're going to use the infrastructure we have because time is of a consideration, and we're going to reuse that for a more benevolent outcome. But this takes coordination, cohesion, organization. This is something that Galactic Connections really wanting to be involved in is playing a connector's role amongst those who really have some great ideas or some great solutions or what have you, because we're not here to compete with anybody. We're here to share information to the whole world. You know, I mean, I can't count how many people that have come to me, you know, with a new idea, a new book, a new ebook, a new piece of music, or what have you. This is what I want to do. I want to take all of those folks out there that don't have a platform and be able to assist them to either, you know, become world renowned or to assist whoever, or maybe they just want to stay in their little local town. That's what I really want to do.
That's beautiful. So we're moving from what I'm hearing you saying, we're moving from this place of really needing to stand and protect and defend to a place of sharing and creation, co-creation. And that this is what we're shifting into, and that it's going to be a little messy. And it already is. Yeah. I mean,
It already is. You know, and I saw this very clearly a couple of years ago when I was participating in another council. You know, the council is only as good as those that sit at the table. And those that sit at the table, when you say you're a representative of that council and you say that your mission is to build a bridge, okay, well, then you better make damn sure that you yourself are living that mission. It's not something outside of you. That's my whole point. So we're all being put to a test about our character and our willingness, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't know it yet, to just be able to acknowledge that there is a part of you that is a master. There is a part of you that has all these answers. And I just love that saying that Jennifer Huff says, you know, when do you make the decision that the universe is watching your back? We have been trained and programmed to believe that we have to watch our own backs, that we have to make decisions and work it out. We're really stepping into a whole new way of being that doesn't create, it doesn't require a lot of work. It's more about becoming your conduit for your guidance, your star system, friends and family, your angelics, you know, maybe your fairies, whomever that you affiliate yourself with, you becoming a very pure conduit. So that conduit is not all gucked up and you know, full of gunk, so that the messages cannot be received. That's the key right now. More of us do that, where we're open and we're receiving the messages and they're just gushing in, the better for the entire planet, because it's all about frequency.
This is just so brilliant. I really love listening to you go, you know, get into these concepts. And I just think it would be great to continue to do this. What I think I want to maybe end up with, to be continued later, is this. We just moved into 2016, and already you and I have spoken, and I've spoken with other people, and I know you have too, of these really, really intense shifts. So it's getting kind of down to, I don't know what the word is, but the target point that we all came here for, to see through. Yes. What can you say to everybody about where we're at right now?
Well, if it's any indication, I mean, Alex Collier just put out an article, actually did a webinar about how the quarantine has been truly pulled down in the month of December. That quarantine was starting to be lifted, you know, bits and pieces. Parts of the quarantine have already been getting chipped away little by little. But there's definitely a feeling amongst many of us that something huge occurred at the end of December. We all felt it, especially those that do energy work. And again, I want to say to those of you that don't do missions and energy work, you're doing your bit. So don't compare yourself to those of us that do. You're doing your bit and you're holding space for things I don't have the ability, the talent, the time, whatever to do. Please stop doing that, okay? Because I get emails where I hear and I sense and I feel this incredible inadequacy. And I say to you, how? If you are ahead of the game, if you are on the forefront of the wave of knowing about how this planet came about, the conspiracy of the cabal, who's been running, the financial system, etc. If you have that awareness and you also have the awareness of your own connection and guidance, how do you take that information and move forward in the year of 2016 without the feeling of inadequacy? Okay, there is a gift involved, even though it doesn't feel that way. And I remind a lot of people, there's a gift involved in being given the foresight, being on this first wave. And I just truly commend the first wavers, because I don't know how we've done it. I really don't. And I commend them all. And my forefathers and foremothers have blazed a trail. I'm getting goosebumps. They have blazed a trail for us. We almost owe them the gift of releasing the inadequacy that we walk around with, recognizing that that was put upon you through circumstance, through childhood experiences, but it is not who you are. It is time to break free of that. We need all of you standing fully in our authority. If we don't stand in our authority, we can't get to the next phase. The sooner that the enlightened ones, and how many are there? How many do you say there are on the planet, Bibi? Maybe a couple hundred thousand of us?
If that many. If that
I don't know. You know, I mean, truly, how many are truly in that realm of really holding the space, really dedicated, really committed, really connected, really cleaned out their closets, trying to have pure attention, no matter what's done to you, no matter what obstacle you're walking into, I mean, I receive emails a lot about things that are done to people. Okay, well, gosh, my mother did this, or my spouse did that, or I'm so heartbroken about this, or what have you. And we've all been there. And especially the first waivers, like we took on really tough stuff. Why? Got to ask yourself why. This was, you don't send a pilot enemy territory on the ground. Okay? You send a Marine or you send somebody from the Army. There are very specific responsibilities for each and every one of us. That's what makes us so beautiful. Every one of us has something that we're going to reveal and bring forth. And it's important to recognize the call has been put out. The decree from God has been announced. We are on standby. And the sooner you step into your power, and what people mean by that is the sooner you do that work, you recognize that you are of God's essence. I love that saying, God doesn't make junk. And you are of that beautiful spirit. All that other stuff, it can be worked on and removed. You know, it can go away. You just have to have that intention, that purpose, that desire, that burning instinct to free and clear and clean yourself up. And that's my call to all of you out there. Very important for us. In order to answer you directly about 2016, we are truly being pushed very strongly to get ready to stand very stable. Very stable. We need that stability. Mother Earth needs us to hold that stability, by the way, folks. It's not just about this whole divine plan and all these other beings. Mother Earth is calling out for us. It's time. We need to really be stable. So if there's areas of your life that are causing you incredible instability, do something about it. Because this is the most important thing at this juncture. This is really going to imprint how we create heaven on earth. Cool. Very much.
That's very big. That's great. So I hear you say it really is necessary at this point. It's not something that would be nice to do. It's really necessary for us to take responsibility for our stuff. Don't let it get in the way. And maybe that's part of the relief that I feel in aligning with galactic connection and recognizing that I can let go of a lot of things. I take responsibility for being who I am. It's different for everybody, but thank you for that. I was getting choked up.
You're welcome.
Very moving. It's like, you know,
I think the one thing everybody knows about me is I put my pants on the same way as everybody else every day. Yes. I don't see myself better than any of you. I just see myself so dedicated, so on fire, so committed, and so in love with divinity and the gift that we have been given to be here at this moment is unbelievable. There are a gazillion of beings that are vying to be born into this reality to see this magnificent show, this magnificent unfolding. I mean, how much of a better opportunity can we be receiving divinely than to be on the ground floor and create this? We have a chance more than ever before to create a Lemuria, but even better. To create an Atlantis, but even better. Learning from our mistakes. learning from where we might have not considered all the variables. Oh my God, this is like a dream for anyone. It truly is. I'm sorry, I just get really choked up about this because I wake up every day and I'm just constantly, you know, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you. I'm here to serve you. What are you here to do?
That's a great question. Thank you, dear Sandra. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much. I've been giving you this big, huge hug. And you deserve the best of everything. You've got our backs. You really do. And I cry about that when I think about your generosity. I know you, I'm not going to, you know, go down that road of throwing kudos at you, but you're the bee's knees, Miss Alexandra. You are. There she goes.
You know what? Phoebe, you are too for taking this position, especially under fire. I watched you go through a lot. I watched you go through a crash course.
Yes, it was. Well, thank you. I take that. Thank you.
And you made it through. You made it through, and you made it through very, you know, you were still, no matter how difficult it was, you were still willing to get up in the morning and go, I'm going to make this, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to make this right. And that's another suggestion to everyone. This is a time of perseverance. This is a time to continue to persevere, but it's different than it was before. It's not as, it's not like our feet are in quicksand anymore. Our feet are in the real sand.
Oh,
the regular sand.
Beautiful.
And we're walking towards the ocean and we're becoming aligned with our emotional bodies. And we're allowing the emotions and the beauty of what makes the human race so unique, which is that incredible, it's that scale of how many different emotions we feel compared to any other race in the universe.
Whoa.
I hope folks think about that. The feelings and the love, the emotional, all the different levels of love that we have. You know, I've heard this many times from my galactic brothers and sisters. They learn. They are fascinated by the human race because of that, because of how deeply we feel everything. So give yourself a pat on the back.
Okay, you know? I will. Yeah, all of us do. All right. Well, that feels very complete, not in the sense of ending, but in the sense of there's much to contemplate and feel. Thank you for your sharing. Thank you for your knowledge. And I will see you later.
I will too. And thank you for all your support, because your support is what is supporting all of those of us out there that are accessing daily, you know, the daily blog, you know, the daily, you know, I remember my friend Jeff saying to me, he says, this is our blog.
Oh.
He goes, this is a we thing. And
that's,
I went,
beautiful.
I go, thank you for that. He goes, yeah. He goes, you're like supporting the whole community. You know, it's like, wow. So anyway, I thank you very much. I just want everyone to know this was kind of different for me to be interviewed today. Bibi's been really pushing me that she wants me to start sharing more messages that I'm receiving, because I do kind of sit in the background with a lot of the information I have. And hopefully I will start doing that more in the future.
You hold much knowledge, and I think that it would eventually you would just end up feeling not right. You have so much knowledge, and now is the time. This is what I've been telling her. The time is now. So here we are. Well done. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bibi. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, everybody. And lots of love and much gratitude to you all.
Yeah. And don't forget, that's everybody's major to-do this month on is to work on whatever sense of insecurity or not holding the value that you think you hold. That is your job. If you need help, we will help you. We are here to help you and assist you. And we do it very dedicatedly. So don't ever think you're alone.
Okay.
Thank you. Lots of love, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.